Chapter 8, Arlene. She slipped in to say goodnight to Trevor the minute Mr. St. Clair left, and he didn't leave a moment too soon. What was it, anyway, about that man that always made her feel she was missing the boat on something, and why couldn't she shake the notion that he was doing it on purpose? Trevor lay on his bed, doing homework in his lap. Gotta go to work, honey. You still got the number by the phone? Sure, Mom. And Loretta's? Know it by heart. You know I'm not scared. I never am. I know, honey, but I am. I'm a big kid, Mom. You sure are, honey. That you are. She sat on the edge of his bed, combing curly strands of hair off his forehead with her fingers. She knew he probably didn't like it, smacking as it did of the preening one gives a much younger child. But he did not complain. Honey? Yeah, Mom. You weren't trying to... What? No, never mind. I gotta go. No, really, what? You weren't trying to fix me up with Mr. St. Clair, were you? I was pretty sure you weren't. Why? Do you like him? It hit her in the stomach like a fastball, something she could really feel, to know that he had, even though she wasn't sure why it should seem so important. And then, looking down at Trevor's homework, she saw the sheet of paper with Trevor's idea sketched out on it. Circles like the ones Jerry had drawn in the dirt between comments when they both believed for a flash of a moment that his life could really change. The circles were blank, all except the top three. One had Jerry's name written inside, then scratched out, which made Arlene suddenly, overwhelmingly sad, as if his chance had gone up just that quickly. The second said Mr. St. Clair, also scratched out, which also made her feel something, though she couldn't name it. The third said Mrs. Greenberg, which, thankfully, meant nothing at all. Her own words didn't sound quite right at first. Well, actually, Trevor, no. I don't think I do like him. He makes me kind of nervous. Why? Do you like him? Yeah, I sure do. Why? I don't know. I think it's because you can say things to him. And then he says things back. Just real simple like that. Whatever you think of, you can just say. That's good, right? Well, I guess so. But, honey, I just don't get why you would do that. I think he's lonely, Mom. And I know you are. And you always said you don't judge people by how they look. No, that's right. You don't. She learned so much from these little talks with her son. He always swore he'd learned it from her and was only mirroring it back. But somehow the wisdom of her own advice surprised her as it came out of his mouth and left her wondering if she was wise enough to heed it. It happened this way every time. And it's not that at all, honey. It's just about looks. And it's not about looks in any way. It's just that, well, you know as well as anybody that your daddy'll be back one of these days. He didn't answer at first. Just looked up at her with an expression that made it hard for her to breathe. It pressed to put words to it. She'd be tempted to call it a look of pity, but surely he hadn't meant it to be as harsh as all that. Mom? She so didn't want to hear the next thing he'd say, but felt too tongue-tied to stave it off. Mom, it's been more a year. So? Mom, he's not coming back. And she'd been so careful to never let those words into her home, her mind. But now, here they were, having to be fought with desperate means. So Arlene did something she'd never done, not in 12 years. She raised the back of her hand to her own son and slapped him across the mouth. She tried to stop the hand before it quite hit home, but the signal didn't go through in time. He looked at her without anger, without adding one tiny stick of kindling to the shame that already threatened to burn her at the stake. She'd never hit Trevor, promised herself she never would. and then, to make matters worse, so unequipped was she to deal with her own shame that she spun on her heels and left him alone. Her eyes kept darting to the clock, hoping for a moment free to call Trevor before he fell asleep, but that moment wouldn't seem to come. When she finally got a break, she used the phone in the kitchen. Trevor picked up on the fourth ring right before her heart attack set in. "Honey, you okay?" "Sure, Mom. I'm always okay." "Were you asleep?" "Not yet. I'll go in a minute, though. I was reading that World War II book." "Trevor, I am so sorry. I am so ashamed that I hit you. I just can't say..." She paused, hoping for something, anything that would relieve her of the duty to continue. "If there is ever anything I can do to make it up, anything at all." "Well, anything." "I don't think you'd go for it." "Anything." "Will you take me to visit Jerry?"
"Do you even know where he is, honey?"
"Yeah, but you won't like it." The woman in the front cubicle of the county jail wore her red nails so long she had to type with the eraser end of a pencil. She sat with her legs crossed, chewing gum with clicking sounds Arlene found irritating. Arlene tightened her grip on Trevor's shoulder. "Name?" "Arlene McKinney." "And here to visit?" "Jerry Bascani."
"Can I see some ID, please?"
Arlene slid her driver's license across the counter.
"Wait in there, please,"
the woman said, sliding the license back and gesturing with one amazing nail. Arlene stood with Trevor in a corner, clutching at his sleeve, and wondered if these people would think Jerry was her husband, and if so, why she minded so much that they would. 10 minutes ticked by, each feeling like a day. Then they were allowed into a room with a long table, a long line of chairs, plexiglass dividers, and telephones, just like in the movies. A few more long minutes, no new prisoners, no Jerry, just more waiting, more holding Trevor's arm, maybe tightly enough to hurt. A guard shuffled by behind the divider. She leaned forward and tapped on the glass, and the uniformed man picked up the phone.
"Problem?
What happened to Jerry Bascani?
He's not coming out."
"What do you mean, he's not coming out? My son and I came all the way down here to visit him."
"Can't make him take a visitor. Said he wasn't in the mood."
"Wasn't in the mood? Jerry Bascani wasn't in the mood to see the boy who was always in the mood to give him all the proceeds of his own hard after-school work? Mood it takes. That's rich. Yeah, that's a good one.
Can I leave a note?"
"Front desk."
"Thanks."
"Jerry, I cannot bring myself to say dear, because right at the moment you are not dear to me at all. I can forgive you for getting in trouble, because we all mess up, and I am no exception. But this little boy who helped you and counted on you came down here to see how you were, and you were not in the mood, which I think makes you 18 different kinds of chicken. It's always easy to get mad on his behalf. In fact, it's sort of a specialty of mine. But truth is, I'm mad at what you did to me too, telling me all your hopes and dreams so I couldn't not like you, because this would be a whole lot easier if I had never liked or trusted you. But you have taken even that small comfort away from me. I don't trust many people. And then when I make an exception, seems it's always the wrong one. Get your sorry self out of this place as soon as you can, and then do what you said you would do for my boy and his school project, which is very important to him. I believe people can change, even though it seems they never do. But if you can't face us today, that says a lot about what you will do later. I don't believe in shooting stars, and if I ever had, I would not believe in them no more. And that is what you have done to this family. Think about that while you're doing your time. My boy would like to write something on his note
on this note when I'm done, which I am, Arlene McKinney. Hi, Jerry. Hope you are okay and the food is not too terrible. Do you get to watch TV? Will you write me a letter from the state pen? Nobody ever did before. Well, gotta go. Mom's ticked. Your friend, Trevor. From the Diary of Trevor. I wonder where people go when they die. They have to go somewhere, right? I mean, it would be just too weird to think about Mrs. Greenberg not being anywhere. That would just be too sad. So I've decided that she's still out there somewhere. Because I've decided I can think whatever I want about it. Because I've noticed that everybody thinks something different about it. So I figure that means you can think what you want. Of course, that means I'm gonna have to keep that garden real nice. And the cats! I just thought, somebody's gonna have to keep feeding all those wild cats. I wonder how much cat food cost. Anyway, you know what? Even this way, it's still sad.